Title of my sermon, subject matter is divine healing. Divine healing, subject matter, divine healing. There's a reason I call it divine healing. You don't see that in the Bible, but the word to heal, it's talking about healing. It has the same meaning. It means therapeuro, I think it is in the Greek. And where we get our word therapeutics. But it means to restore us, make us whole and restore us to health. Now, when we are called into the church, we understand that we not only can go to doctors and we can see what they have to say about our illness, but also we can go to God, that we have the power of God to help in healing us. And I'm going to go pretty deep into that. And the power of God, the divine, that's where I got the word divine. It means theos in the Greek, power of God. So we understand and we do not leave that out of the equation. At least we should not leave that out of the equation. And in all of our dealings with healing, having to do with divine healing and restoring our health, we should not leave that out of the equation, that the power of God is in there. So when we are called, we are coming under the covenant of sacrifice, and in Christ and God become involved. So it takes on a different meaning when we come into the church. I know a lot of people, you know a lot of people that have ill health, and they deal with it the best they can. But we in the church go a little further than that because we have divine healing. It's a big difference there. So divine healing. So my SPS is this: what is God looking for in divine healing? What is God looking for in divine healing? When we say that word, what is he after? What is he looking for in us? Because we want to know. We don't want to just say, well, God heals and you can go on from there. Divine healing. His purpose is to increase our faith. To increase our faith. That is his purpose. Now, I want to start out. I'm going to give you about 7 or 8 scriptures here. Normally, I have points, and I'll have 3 points at the end. But I have 7 or 8 scriptures here that I want to go through. And I want to touch on this subject about how God wants to increase our faith. And he does that through healing. He increases our faith. And I was reading the book of Luke, and Luke is a physician, and reading at the top of the page, I went through there and wrote on there, healing in each page. You'd be surprised. I think there was 18 or 20 pages in that book that had to do with healing, of Christ's healing. So what was that I read this morning? That Luke actually mentioned healing and health 15 times just in the book of Luke. So in Luke chapter 18, let's dig into this a little deeper. In verse 7 and 8, let's dig into this, see what God says about increasing our faith. We'll use some examples here, and you're going to see in these examples that these people did not come under the sacrifice Christ. They did not have his Holy Spirit, and yet they had their own measure of how they wanted to be healed. In Luke chapter 18, verse 7 through 8, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, through he hears with them, he bears along with them? Verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? So what God has to do is to find out a way for humans to get to some place in their lives where they say, this takes faith on my part, to get them to think about increasing their faith. And looking at healing and being made whole and cured in a lot different ways than the world looks at it. A lot different way. I put in my notes here, he's looking to increase our faith. One of the ways is through healing. That's just one of the ways, is through healing. Hebrews 11, verse 1, and again, I'm going to read 7 or 8 scriptures here and then have 3 points at the end. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Hebrews 11 and verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So there it is. We look at faith from that standpoint, and we see there's evidence, there's things that are unseen that we don't understand. And when we're sick and we're ill, we're not being healed, there's certain things that are unseen. But if a person, what did I have down my notes here? If we believe that God will fulfill his promises, even though we do not see physical evidence materializing, we demonstrate our true faith. When we just don't look for evidence, we don't look for things that are seen. If we look underneath and we say, we have to have faith, and we have to stick by our thoughts that we have to have faith. We may have doubts. We may have doubts. God knows that. He knows we want to see evidence. He knows that just as well as we're here in church today. He knows that we want to see evidence. We're human beings. But the evidence he's looking for really is faith. We feel, we see, we feel is not true evidence. That is not true evidence. When we want to look at something, we feel it, we touch it, we see it. That is not true evidence. True evidence says that you have the faith that it's in God's hands. And I'll go into that in a little bit. Matthew 8, chapter 1 through 4, or verses 1 through 4. Matthew chapter 8. And these are examples of Christ's healing. We're going to go into some of those and look at them. But please understand, these people did not have the Holy Spirit that God has given us. They came of their own volition. They saw him healing. They didn't know. They looked at the evidence. They didn't look at the faith that it needs, the person needs to be healed. But nonetheless, the stories are there. And they're all throughout the Gospels. And I often wondered, after I read all those different tales in there, stories, what is the point is he's trying to make? Well, this is a point I came up with, to increase our faith. Because if we have God's Spirit, we should increase our faith. Matthew chapter 8, 1 through 4. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshiped him. So worship enters in their own state of mind, the worship enters in. So he comes along, he worships God. He says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. So we probably wouldn't see something like that today, but the man is asking him. He's in a tough spot. He says, are you willing to do this? Are you willing to do this? Well, how many times have we asked that question when we need to be healed or we want to be made whole? Well, we wonder to God, I don't know. Wonder if he's really his will that I be healed from this disease that I have. We probably ask that question sometimes, but I put here, God gave his word, his promises in the name of Jesus Christ. His will is to heal us. Please don't forget that. God's will is to heal us, to make us whole. He gives these examples to show that his will is always there. We needn't question that will of God, that he is there. His will, he wants us to heal. He doesn't want us to be sick. He doesn't want us to have pain. But we look for the physical evidence. We keep our eye on the physical and not on the spiritual. Then that's where we go astray. And we look at it from a totally different way. And that is not God's intent at all. Matthew chapter 9, we'll go on. Here's a few more examples. Matthew chapter 9, verse 19 through 29. That's not right. I got too many scriptures. Yes, it is. Matthew 9:19-29. There's two examples here actually together, so I put them all together in one bulk of scripture. Verse 19 of Matthew 9. So Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched his garment. Wait a minute. 12 years you have had this? And she comes and she touches his garment and she says, you can heal me. For she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, if I could just touch his garment, I shall be made well. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. If she wouldn't have went to that extreme to just touch his garment, and it kind of makes me feel funny all over, kind of, I don't know, different when I read these stories, that she went and touched his garment, she had the faith in her own way, without God's Spirit, to have the faith to go and touch his garment. He says, your faith has made you well. Oh, I hope you can say that about us. Your faith has made you well. Because we will all go through this sometime in our life where we are going to have to rely and trust in God in faith to heal us. To heal us. Next example is found in verse 27. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. So you see these two blind men. I talk to a blind man and see what really they go through. But I know people have eye problems, and I know what they go through to an extent. But these men were blind. They were blind, and they said to him, have mercy on us. So again, we see this initiative brought on by the person that they're going to go to Christ, and they saw evidence of what he'd done before, and they wanted some of that, but they didn't have to go to him. But he just says, have mercy on us. Two blind men sitting there. Two blind men. I hope you can read some of these examples in the book of Luke and really dig into some of these healings that Christ made in the first church. Verse 28, and when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? So belief has to be there, whether it's them or us. We have to believe that God is there to heal us. He said, am I able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes. I didn't notice that before. There's two men there. He touched their eyes, both of them. Can you imagine he touched one and immediately he's healed and the other one's standing there wondering when his turn was going to come up? I didn't notice that before until I just read and thought about there's two of them there. What faith is that for people to have who are not under the covenant of sacrifice? I put in my notes here, all of these people came to him in desperation, all of them, whether they're blind man or the woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years, they were desperate. They had nowhere else to go. So, and the man with leprosy, they had no place to go. So where do they go? In desperation, they go to Christ. In a kind of a desperation with a kind of a superstitious kind of faith. An inadequate concept of who Christ really was. So they had this superstitious kind of faith. I hope we don't have that. So I have 3 points at the end here. I'll give it to you in a little bit. That says we are not to do that. That when we go to God and we say, you have promised, your name in the Old Testament in Hebrew is Yahweh Rafika, that means God heals. I think it's in Exodus. I was trying to look that up, even going on the internet to see where that was. God heals. God is the healer. And I'll bring that out a little later. None of these should apply to us. We are under the covenant of sacrifice. We should not leave that go by the wayside. We, I'll say for the third or fourth time, should not look for evidence of healing that we want to, if we don't see it, we don't believe it, type of an attitude. And I don't see that much in God's church, I never have, but we are under a different sacrifice than those people. Luke 13, we're back in the book of Luke again. Verse 11. Luke 13 and verse 11. Here's another woman. Luke 13, verse 11. Keeping in mind now that we're getting down to the point where we want to increase the faith, but these examples are here, brethren. These examples are here. In verse 11 of Luke 13, he says, "And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, 'Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity.'" I take that to mean some type of illness or sickness. He laid his hands on her, and immediately, now these examples are not saying, well, he went about his way and it took another 6 months. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that in these examples. He says immediately they were healed. Immediately they were made well. They were made well. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. So dig a little deeper into that. When we glorify God, we go to God. We say, we have the faith. We've built that faith up after all these years in the church. We understand what it takes to be healed, and now we are coming to you. I'm putting my notes here. God did not promise when or how he would heal. None of these examples. He does not promise when he will heal or when, if he will heal. In this lifetime, and I'll put that out for you just to think about. When a person is that ill where they have no place else to go, and they've gone to God and they died, they're healed. They're healed. They don't have to suffer like the rest of us. But he didn't promise when or how he would heal. He didn't promise that. Did you ever hear of anybody who's had this spirit of infirmity for 18 years? You ever hear of that? I really haven't. I know I've had diabetes for 20 years, but that isn't, to me, isn't a deep infirmity. But this woman here, she had spent everything she had on the doctors. They didn't have health insurance back then. And she come up and she says she wanted to be healed. But he does not say, you've had it all these years now, I'm going to do this, go away, wait 6 months, and you'll see evidence. Get the picture. We're talking about a spiritual aspect of God's Spirit that tells us that when we go to God and we put that in God's hands, and many of you have in this room, many of you have, and what... I can think of one person in here that I went and anointed her early in the morning. I did not for a minute think that she was going to pull out of that. And she's sitting here today. So it's not that we can go and say, well, you know, I know those examples are there. But that was back then. You know, they didn't have the doctors and what they have nowadays. But they had the faith. They had the faith in Christ. Luke chapter 8, we're back in Luke again. Verse 43. No, this is a different one. This is another example. Luke chapter 8, verse 43. Here's another example of a woman. She said, having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood in physicians and could not be healed by any. I will clarify one thing. I am not against doctors. I never have and never will be. A good friend of mine I used to run with was the top orthopedic surgeon in the Twin Cities. I am not against doctors. I'm saying that Christ's goal is for us in the church to increase our faith and to make sure that's being done. Verse 44, she could not be healed by any. Verse 44, came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. But Jesus said, somebody touched me, for I perceived power going off from me. Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling. Naturally she'd come trembling before him. She had a flow of blood for 12 years, and she come and touched his garment, and falling down before him, and declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. Oh, if we could do that. If we could get to that point, I just want to touch something. I just want to have that kind of faith. We would very well be on our way into God's kingdom. She was healed immediately. He said to her, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your faith. It didn't say, no, your stick-to-itiveness, or your greatness, or your understanding in the scripture. She didn't say that. He said to her, your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. I put in my notes here, we may have a sickness, and I'll say this for the second time, over a period of time. And there's more than one example of this in the Gospels. Now, I remember back when I went down to Mayo Clinic, found out I had diabetes. It was 20 years ago, somewhere in that area. And then all of a sudden, all my life I've had this back problem. So I've prayed and I've been anointed for it. And I've asked God to heal me. And I'll keep on asking. I'll cover that a little later. But my job then as a Christian, under the covenant of sacrifice, which means I've been called, given God's Spirit, and it takes faith to be baptized, and have the faith of Christ that I can go and I can say, I've done what I can. I've done what I can. My job is to understand that God will heal me. But my job also is to maintain that faith. And if it takes healing to do that, that's fine. My job is to maintain it. It's your job to maintain your faith so when the time comes to be healed, your faith is there to cover for you. And God will heal you. He'll increase your faith and to endure until that time comes. To endure till that time comes. That is a tough call. That is a tough call for human beings to say, well, I put it in God's hands, now I know he's going to heal me, and then just go for years, like with my back problem, for 40 years, and just go on and on and on and keep going, keep exercising the back, keep moving, keep moving, keep the faith, endure till the end comes when God says I'm going to heal him, or I'm going to get rid of his diabetes. None of you want to have diabetes. I caution anybody that's younger to avoid, and there are ways to avoid that disease. It is not something that is easy. But I've looked at it, as I was telling my brother yesterday, as we were talking about it, as a plus in my life. Because what it's done is it caused me to start eating right. No smoking. I quit before I come in the church. Caused me to eat right, to keep my body in shape. So all in all, I put a positive slant on it. But that is not easy. And it doesn't always occur day in and day out. It does not, even up till today. To maintain that health, to endure until the time comes. Oh, I hope we can see that. God wants to increase our faith. He wants us to have the faith that no other being can have. He wants us to see something. He wants to see that we have that faith to endure. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. And it's showing here that God is far more concerned that we come out stronger with more faith in him. Paul understood that. He understood that. He says in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, and he said to me, my grace, in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. As I was saying a minute ago, what we go through in life, we can put a positive spin on that and make it work for us, not against us. That's what Paul is saying. It's made perfect in weakness. We become stronger that way. Spiritually, we have more faith. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So again, God is far more concerned that we come out stronger with more faith in him, with more faith, far more concerned. Okay, I'll give you 3 points now what we can do after we looked at those examples. I hope they were clear. I hope they had meaning to you. They did to me. The first point is this: be anointed. Be anointed, brethren. When you see something wrong, be anointed. Don't be afraid to ask the elder or the minister. I need to be anointed. I know Mr. Black was here a couple months ago, I think, a month and a half ago. And I happened to, for some reason, get this itch all over my body. Gary knows what I'm talking about. But it is awful. You can't sleep nights. So I went back there and I said, would you anoint me? It's really getting to me. He did, but it didn't go away. I had to go out and, well, let's see now, what am I going to do now? But all in all, I have to tell you, when I got out of that room, I felt different. Of all the years I've been in the church that I've been anointed, I felt different about anointing. I felt that when I walked out of that room back there, that I had put it in God's hand, and in God's hand, it's going to stay there. He's not going to forget me, and he won't forget you either. He won't forget you. But put it in God's hand. Be anointed. Be anointed. We sometimes think, well, I'll wait. I just want to check with my doctor. No, brethren. Number one, be anointed. Be anointed. Ask an elder to anoint you. Let him pray. It isn't his prayer. It isn't his greatness. It's going to heal you. But it's the idea that you went to him and you're doing what it says in the scripture and you're going to be anointed. That means the minister lays hands on you and he prays over you. Do that first. James 5 and verse 14 through 16. James 5 verse 14 through 16. Verse 14 of James 5, verse 14 says this: is anyone among you sick? Yes, there is, plenty of us. Let him call for the elders of the church. How clear can it be? And let them pray over him. So he says, if you're sick, call on one of the elders. He said, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of the faith, of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. See, what we're doing by doing that, we're saying, we have faith in you, Father in heaven, that you're going to heal me. Now you say, if I'm sick, I can go to one of the elders, he can lay hands on me, and we don't go back in a room to be secluded so we can, you know, pour oil in somebody's head or whatever, you know. And we don't go back there to say, well, I'm going to teach this guy a lesson. I'm going to tell him what he shouldn't be doing and what he has been doing wrong. Neller doesn't do that. He goes back there and he prays and he says, God, you know his body. You understand what he's going through. And again, we cannot forget that. And God knows he's willing to heal us. But this is the beginning. Not a doctor first. Not a physician or a nurse or anything else. But an anointing, if humanly possible. I can remember thinking back, why would I put in my notes there? In anointing, two things he doesn't tell us, how and when. The elder's not going to go back there and say, well, I've anointed you now. Next week, you can expect to be up and running and on your feet and even it moving, you know. He doesn't tell us. The elder doesn't say that. What else I put here? I put here, doctors or God? Insulin or God? That's my choice. You have a choice to be anointed. When you go in to be anointed, you have a choice. You can go to the doctors, and again, I will clarify, I'm not against doctors. I've had a physical every year of my life for the last 40 years. So it is the point where I'm not against doctors. But we have to make a determination once we're anointed. Maybe there's something I can do that I haven't been doing where my body would rebound a little quicker. Maybe I ought to check on that. Maybe there's something that I'm eating that's not doing me any good. So we have a determination to make, doctors or God. Doctors or God. First, determination. In another words, in Acts 19, in verse 11 and 12, I haven't heard these scriptures brought up for years. I haven't heard these brought up for years. Maybe they have, maybe I wasn't there. Maybe I wasn't wide awake enough or whatever. Acts 19, verse 11 through 12. Acts 19, verse 11 through 12. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. Well, unusual, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and evil spirits went out from them. God can work miracles either way. He can work them either way. I can remember sitting with my son with poison ivy, so bad he couldn't bend his arms. And I called the minister and I said, would you send me a cloth? And it wasn't, I don't know how long, I didn't ask Colleen. It was just a short time and that poison ivy went away, just like that. You can say, well, fine, you went through that. I haven't seen that. I've seen it. I witnessed it. I had two children sitting there. Their ears were plugged. They had colds. And I called the minister, and I said, would you send me a cloth? And their ears popped. Their ears popped. Now, I shouldn't say this, but you can ask Colleen. It was weird. You just sat there and you wondered. The ears popped and all of a sudden the earaches went away and we were sitting at the table. Believe me, that happened. Well, I shouldn't say believe me. You aren't all throwing your Bibles at me, so you do believe me that it did happen. And it happens all the time. But first of all, to be anointed or ask for a cloth. Those are good examples when it happens in the family. And I shudder to think that I would think back then that we were new in the church and God was just showing us that he was there. No, I don't believe that for a minute. I don't believe that at all. God was there. So that's a good example. Ralph Mayer goes to St. Cloud Church. He says, come up to me afterwards and he said, I want to anointed cloth, and I keep them in my briefcase, as the other elders do, in an envelope with the instructions on how to use it. He says, I haven't had one of those, taken one of those for a long time. And so on Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, somewhere around noon, he calls and he says, Don, he says, that cloth worked. He says, I haven't felt better. I slept good last night. As well, I'm glad you didn't ask for more than one, because I only have one left in my briefcase, so I got to upgrade that a little bit. Please, look to God. Go to be anointed. Pick up a cloth. Do it that way instead of going here and there and trying to figure out what portions to put on our body and what have you. It just works. It works miracles. And he says here, an unusual miracle. God's healing is very unusual. That's why our minds can't grab a hold of it and say, yes, he did it. He removed that poison ivy. He removed those two children with their ears were plugged. He did it. He did it. Remember that. All right, that's the first point. I have two left. Second one is this. Keep asking in prayer and ask others to pray. Keep asking in prayer and ask, like I continually do, and lately I've been slipping up a little bit about, I want to be healed of this diabetes. Well, I may be healed, but not in the way I think. But I'm going to pray about it. Norman Vincent Peale, I remember I used to have some tapes of his. He said, when we pray, it stirs up the powers of heaven. You ever look at it that way? It stirs up the powers of heaven. Say, oh, here's a guy that's praying. He won't leave me alone. I'll read an example about that here in a minute. We're not trying to coerce God into healing us. We're not trying to tell God, you've got to heal me. I'm in pain. I'm sick. And I need to be healed. Matthew 15, let's read that. Matthew 15, verse 21 through 28. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21 through 26, I should say. Keep asking in prayer. Ask others to pray. After you've been anointed, just keep praying about it. Keep on praying. And this example shows here of a woman. It's kind of a lengthy section of scripture, but we'll read it together. And it shows her going after Christ and not letting up until she was healed. Verse 21, then Jesus went out from there, departed in the region of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region, and she cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely possessed. But he answered her not a word. And I think that's a test of faith when God doesn't answer. We look at it and say, I don't see anything about what's all this about healing. What's all this about anointed cloth and all that? So he answered her not a word. His disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. So he said, Lord, have mercy on me. She comes back again. She says, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she says, yes, Lord, yet even little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. You kept coming after me. You wouldn't let up. You were importuning me. You gave me this example. Is still come after me, and her daughter was healed from that very hour. I think it says, and if I read it right, the daughter was dead, and he had raised her from the dead. I put in my notes here, we cannot force or coerce God to heal us, but can keep importuning him when we pray. We can keep doing that. We can do that. First anointing, and then go to God in prayer and keep asking God to heal. And what scripture do I have here? I got to look back. Just one second here. Mark 11, verse 21 through 24. Mark 11, verse 21 through 24. Again, we're still on the second point. We're just about done. Verse 21 of Matthew 11, he's talking about praying now. Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Okay, verse 23. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you will receive them and you will have them. If we keep on believing that we will have them, if we keep on praying that God will either heal us, he will heal us. And as I said, one way or another. Elmer Munson said to me, his grandfather used to say to him, prayer is the asking, how did he put that? Oh, forget it. If Elmer heard me say that, he'd probably be up on stage here. Rules for answered prayer, I have two of them and they're not points. But here are the rules when we pray to God, when we ask for healing. Number one, must be a prayer of faith. It must be a prayer of faith. It is useless to go to God in prayer and not accept the outcome. I'll say that again. It's useless to go to God in prayer and ask him to do this, to heal us, to make us whole again, and not accept the outcome. Whatever that outcome might be. Now, we all know people who have got to this point where they went to God and they said, well, God, you have to heal me. It's either that or I'm done for. Either that or I'm going to suffer terribly. But the outcome is there, and God knows the outcome. It must be a prayer of faith on our part. Second thing, prayer must be, it must be a prayer of confident expectation, expecting an answer. Expect an answer. Expect an answer. It must be a prayer of confident expectation. Expecting an answer. Two rules for answered prayer. So we have the anointing, we have the prayer. Now the third and last one is this. Remember, God is the only one that can heal our bodies. God is the only one that can heal our bodies. A doctor can give you a cure. Maybe the right one, maybe the wrong one. I have no opinion on that. Again, I'm not speaking against doctors. I never will. Remember, God is the only one that can heal our bodies. In Acts chapter 9, verse 32. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 32 through 34. Chapter 9, verse 32 through 34. Came to pass as Peter went through all parts of the country that he came down to the saints that dwelt in Lydda. There he found a certain man named Aeneas who had been bedridden 8 years and he was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Jesus the Christ heals you. Not Dr. So-and-so, or this one, or that one, or this portion, or this pill, or this vitamin that you're going to take. Jesus Christ is the one who heals us. He made these bodies. He knows what they're made up of. He knows what makes us tick. And whenever I have something wrong, I will extensively look into what's causing this. I will look into before I even attempt to go to a doctor, to look in and see, what am I doing? And going back to anointing, many times when elders will ask, they will say, show this person there's something they can do. But always remembering, always remembering that God is the only one who heals. He's called God who heals in the Old Testament more than once. Remember that. 1 Peter 2 and verse 24, last verse. 1 Peter 2 and verse 24. I'm going to read this, showing that Christ opened the door for us to exercise faith to be healed. God is willing. Our part is to exercise faith. Now, I keep coming back to that. 1 Peter 2 and verse 24. We read this during the Passover. Verse 24, 2 Peter 2. Who himself bore our sins in his own body in the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. He opens the door. He opens the door for us to exercise faith. Now all we have to do as time goes on is to exercise that faith to be healed. And God, that's what God is looking for. In the exercise of faith, knowing that God is always there. And my conclusion, I say this, not easy to exercise faith, accept his will, but remember, God is always there for us to help us.